Previously on the Ron Van Dam Show.
Come on, man. Trying to find myself, which was nice to do for a change. It is so freaking confusing. I've never seen it, bunny. It's not true, I'm lying.
And now, today's episode.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Yeah, that's true.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. I don't know how you got here. I don't know, I was sitting here and all of a sudden you showed up, so I thought I'd do a show. You know how I know I'm getting old? This morning I was brushing my teeth, and I stopped suddenly and I looked in the mirror and I said to myself, wow, Ron, you still got teeth. That's pretty cool. Taking my dog around the block for a walk, and halfway around the block I stopped and I said to myself, wow, Ron, you can still walk rather well. who says that? Get up in the morning, you get dressed and start to put your shoes on, and you've taken the left shoe and putting it on the right foot, and this is the true meaning of a moron. See, I get confused because the socks don't matter. My socks, they're interchangeable. They're exactly the same. I don't have to worry about which sock goes on which foot. If I did, I'd be in great trouble. But the shoes, man. God. Ever, by mistake, you're walking down the street and you step in shit? Has that happened to you? And then you stop and you say to yourself, you know, of all the places on the planet that I could have stepped, I stepped in shit. I mean, how is that possible? What are the odds of that? All right, take it easy. The show's almost over. Actually, it's not. It just started. How you doing, man? You're looking wonderful today. What's different about you? Did you blow your nose? Is that what it is? You're looking good. Welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. I do this with the backing of people that are far more talented than I, and I'm being self-deprecating when I say that. Jason Shaw, the music, John Shanahan, the comedy writing and announcing, Nicole Reed, booking the interviews, me. Anyway, Sunday was the last Game of Thrones episode, and I couldn't be more thrilled. There's two kinds of people on this planet. Mm-hmm. There's the people that watch Game of Thrones and the people that didn't. And I think both sides hate each other.
Well, how can you be a human being and not have watched Game of Thrones?
That's the way Game of Thrones people think. The people that never watch Game of Thrones feel like there's a club going on and you can't get into it. Well, so there were eight seasons of it, and I remember saying to this person, I said, I have never seen Game of Thrones, and it's the last season. How about if I watch like the last episode in season 7 so I get caught up? And their response was extreme. Their response was, oh, no, you can't do that. Oh, no. Oh, no, that's not going to do it. You can't watch the last episode in season 7 and think you got caught up. Oh, no. You got to start watching from season 1, the first second. Look, okay, I don't have time for that. Even if I don't have a life, I still have no time for that. See, people who watch Game of Thrones find it very insulting that you would, it's like that you would just like get caught up all of a sudden by watching season 7. You think I'm caught up. They get very incensed about it. They get very, very angry. They will kill you. It's like you're on the highway and the exit is coming up and you're sitting there in traffic, like waiting to get off the highway. And, you're sitting there, you're paying your dues, sitting in traffic to get off the highway. And then some guy comes along from the left-hand side and cuts right in front of you, didn't have to wait in traffic to get off the highway. That's the guy that's trying to do the Game of Thrones last episode of season 7. That's the one. Trying to cut in your line. No. You're not going to do that. You get back to season 1 behind everybody else. I never watched Game of Thrones. I've seen the trailer for it. Trailer is not something that, it's a preview of it. And I saw a lot of flying dragons and a lot of people with shields and swords. And I said to myself, that's nice. What the hell? I never got into that Game of Thrones thing. But people that did, I don't know what's going on with them. I don't know what's so captivating about flying dragons and stuff. Anyway, it ended Sunday. Thank God. I think even people that watch Game of Thrones said, thank God. There's actually, I read, and this is absolutely true. I'm not making this up. I make everything else up, but I'm not making this up. I wish I was making other things up. I wish when I said Trump was president, I wish I had made that up. I wish that was just a really bad comedy bit. Actually, it is a really bad comedy bit. There's people that actually need therapy because Game of Thrones is over and they're so sad and depressed. It's like postpartum depression. Like they just had a baby or something. Seriously. There are online therapists that actually talk to people that are greatly depressed because Game of Thrones is over. The sessions are $25 to $50. This is a real thing. You can go online and Google this up your ass if you want to. People are very depressed about this. Oh, wow. It's like they came back from war or something and they can't fit back into society. I mean, wow. It's a stupid television show. Granted, with flying dragons, but still. I know a couple of people like this because they were so obsessed with it. All they ever talked about was Game of Thrones. I don't even understand what that means. To me, Game of Thrones is like a pinball machine with toilet bowls in it. I don't know what that is. I was one of the people that never watched it. And when I said I never watched it, people would look at me like, go back to your planet. Never felt so out of place before in my life. But now it's over. They'll just go away, you know. There were Game of Thrones t-shirts, Game of Thrones underpants. Why do people wear underpants that have printing on them when no one's really going to see them? If you're having sex, the underpants should come off rather quickly. Otherwise, they should never be seen by another human being. Anyway, here's a funny thing about the Game of Thrones. I don't know if Google this up the ass, too. In season 8, there were at least two mistakes in the episodes. Mistakes being that this takes place with dragons and castles and people with shields and swords and stuff, you know, medieval times. By the way, there were no dragons medieval times. I don't know. I'm not an expert, but I'm pretty sure there weren't. I know there weren't. And if there were dragons, they were not flying. I don't think there were ever dragons. Maybe dinosaurs, but dragons, I'm not sure. Anyway, there were two mistakes. When season 8 opened up not long ago, apparently, there was a big wooden table in this particular scene, and all these knights were standing around, and on the table was a coffee cup from Starbucks, one of those styrofoam coffee cups from Starbucks, and it's sitting there on the table, and viewers who are crazy people, they saw this immediately. It's kind of funny. You can see it online. And I guess, from what I've heard, on the last episode of the Game of Thrones, just this past Sunday, tucked behind a leg of the chair that one of the knights was sitting in was a bottle of bottled water, of spring water. And you can see it as it just kind of peeks around from underneath the chair leg. And viewers caught that. It's kind of interesting. This is probably the most obsessed about television show in recent years. And yet, I don't know who edits these shows. That person should be fired. How can you not catch that? That's the job of not only the director and the script person, but when they're sitting down and they're editing the show for air in front of billions of people, they don't catch that themselves. It's like they shot the episode and didn't bother watching it themselves. So the Game of Thrones audience and fans are livid. How could you have a water bottle and a coffee cup? You've ruined my life. They're livid about it. They're upset. Oh, this ruins everything for me. I can't believe this now. Now I cannot believe the flying dragon scenario with all the knights sitting around a wooden table. Now that is totally ruined for me. Now I can't believe that that actually happened. Oh my God, what's wrong with you? Take it easy now. I wouldn't want to be locked in a room with an obsessed Game of Thrones person, because someone could get hurt, and it's not me. Okay. I mean, I'm not saying that there shouldn't be therapy for Game of Thrones people, because they need therapy. They really do. You got a little too deep into this subject matter, Game of Thrones people. I go to a cocktail lounge every once in a while. I'm doing research on a book about people that go to cocktail lounges. I've been doing research on this for decades. Someday I'll write the book, maybe. And the conversations are not about sports as they usually are at all these freaking sports bars. They're instead about Game of Thrones. I mean, cut it out. Just stop it. Just stop this lunacy. Why are there so many sports bars? What's up with that? Is the supposition that everybody on the planet is into sports? What is that about? Why is every bar turned into a sports bar? Is there a place that I can go to have a nice cocktail where there's some nice jazz in the background or something like that? Do I have to be watching television when I leave? I watch enough television when I'm home. Do I need to watch television when I'm not home as well? Do I need to see sports on a screen all the time? I kind of really don't ever. If I want to watch sports, I'll go somewhere and watch sports to maybe a couple of sports bars. Now, every single cocktail lounge, every single bar is riddled with TVs. They're like TV stores. Remember these stores, these department stores? They had like 20 TVs lined up in the window, and you'd stand there and watch it a little bit, you know, like you never saw a TV before. now bars are like, it's a whole wall of TVs. I mean, what are you doing? What are you doing with me? I just came in for a drink. Why are you bombarding me with these visuals? And on the screen usually is not really a sports game. It's two sportscasters talking about something, but the sound's off. The sound's always off. So why are you displaying on a TV set when I'm trying to enjoy myself in an establishment? Why are you displaying two people talking with the sound off? What is that doing for me? Why are you doing this to me? And I point it out to bartenders sometimes. I say, you know, this is so stupid. You got a TV in front of my face with two sportscasters talking to each other, and there's no sound. It'd be worse if there was sound, but why you have this on the TV? And the bartenders always look at me, and their response is universal. The response is, well, I don't know. I don't have anything to do with that. I serve drinks. I don't know. I don't like people that play stupid. They don't talk like that all the time. They don't walk around like that, talking in that stupid voice all the time. Hi, Uncle Harry. How was your weekend?
I don't know. I don't know. I just was. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not the way you talk. You know it. You don't go out on a date with somebody.
Hi. My name's Marcia. You come here often?
I don't know. I don't really know. I don't know if I come here often. I don't know. I'm not responsible for coming here often. I don't know. I don't know. Want to have sex? I don't know if I do. I don't know.
God, man. People are weird. The older I get, the more I realize how weird people are. When I was young, I didn't think people were weird. I thought I was weird. I thought other kids knew everything. They knew how to do things. I didn't know how to do everything. So I felt weird. And then when I got my first job when I was a young adult, it was my first job. I didn't know.
Oh, I don't know.
Everybody else seemed to know more than I did. It was like my first time doing everything. First time I had sex, first time I had a girlfriend, first time I had a job, first time I went to a particular class in a particular year of school, first year of everything, first time I had a drink when I turned 10. It's just the first time for everything. Then when I got older, I realized I've done everything I've wanted to do. That's why I don't understand this bucket list stuff. If you're over 40 or 50 years old and there's stuff you haven't done, it's because you probably didn't want to do it. Except for, I guess, travel around the world. People say that, well, on my bucket list, I want to travel around the world. Why? Why? Don't you have a TV? Don't you watch movies? Why do you want to travel around the world and meet all these horrible people? Why do you want to go to countries that are being overthrown, that kill people, that have animals defecating in the street? Why do you want to travel there? Why? I know some people that went to Iceland. They went there for fun. I've never been to Iceland, but I've known people who've been to Iceland. And there are two separate reactions to going to Iceland. First of all, the name of the place is not something that's conducive to, ooh, I want to go to Iceland. Maybe if there was a place called Beachland, that might be attractive. Iceland? Ice never really attracted me unless it was in a drink. Other than that, I don't need ice. I slip on it, I break my hips and my legs. I don't need ice. The people go to Iceland, this is one or two reactions. Either, oh, it's beautiful. It's just beautiful. It's undisturbed. It's beautiful. The glaciers are tremendous. That's one reaction. The other reaction is, you seen one glacier, you seen them all. I was never so bored in my life. I got there, I saw a large chunk of ice, and I said, okay, what's next? Let's go home. It's true. What the hell are you going to do in Iceland? Now, I've never been there. I'm sure the people are very, very nice. I don't think they're Eskimos or anything like that. I really don't understand what's going on there. Some people, before they die, on their bucket list, they want to jump out of a plane. Why? I don't know if you realize it, but if you're religious and you think that God created you, notice there are no wings attached to your shoulders. Notice that. Take note. Jumping out of a plane. Yeah, I want to scare the shit out of myself to the point where I have a heart attack 10,000 feet in the air. I never wanted to jump out of a plane. I wanna go bungee jumping. That's on my bucket list. Why do you want to go bungee? You want to jump off a bridge with an elastic rubber band on attached to your harness. You want to see the ground coming up like at 700 miles an hour, so that you get smashed on the ground below. Just at the last second, this rubber band whips you back up and you go flying around and kill yourself on... Why would you want to put yourself through that? Most people avoid things like that. Here's an idea. I'm going to push you off a bridge. I'm going to attach a rubber band to your back. It should be fun. Oh, good. Let's do it. No. But now it's a thing, you see. It's a thing, so now it's on a bucket list. Screw the bucket list. I would have done the stuff that I wanted to do by now. Get to know yourself. Realize that the reason you didn't do all this stuff is because you were kind of waiting until you were going to die anyway. All the stuff that is so... You know, and they say, oh, I like the adrenaline rush. What? What? To me, an adrenaline rush means you have to go to the bathroom really, really badly. Does it ever happen to you? You drink a lot of water, which you're supposed to. I think you're supposed to drink 20 gallons of water a day. I don't know if that's a law or whatever. But it flushes out your system big time. Do you ever drink a lot of water and then you're stuck in traffic and all of a sudden you gotta pee, but there's no way to do it? And you search the car for a cup that you can pee in, and you realize this isn't going to work, but I got to think of something. It's very painful to have to pee, and yet you can't get to a bathroom. I don't know if there's another show that would talk about this kind of stuff. I'm just saying. I'm just talking about stuff that we all go through. All of us. Do you ever sit in traffic and you look, you're bored, you're just sitting in traffic, nothing's moving, and you turn to the left and you look out your car window into somebody else's car, and it's somebody of the opposite sex who looks really attractive. And all of a sudden, in your mind, you're conjuring up this incredible fantasy where the two of you hook up because you're looking at each other through the car windows. You end up at a luxury hotel in satin sheets, and I mean... the whole scenario like pops through your mind in a matter of 10 seconds. And then you realize that's not going to happen. I don't know why not. I feel like rolling down my driver's side window and she rolls down her passenger side window and we have a little conversation because we're both stuck in traffic. We get to know each other. How nice that would be. But it never happened. That's on my bucket list. That scenario is on my bucket list. These are the kind of lists that I have on my bucket. I have a list. I actually have a bucket. My bucket list is actually a piece of paper attached to a bucket. Yes. Why not? Why fool around with that stuff? Let's be honest. All right, we have a great guest coming up that's going to be interesting if you... Yeah, trying to pursue an education in this crazy world of people buying libraries in order to get their kids into school. I think we've overemphasized this college thing. I really have. I think we've gone nuts with this education thing. Education is so important, and yet I see people graduating from college and from school who are literally still stupid, who can't spell, can't speak. It's very, very odd. Anyway, we'll talk to our guest right after this.
Ron Van Dam likes to treat every listener as someone with whom he is having an intimate, personal relationship. Although no money changes hands, there are fewer sticky bodily fluids, about half as many apologies, and he probably won't have to get rid of your body in the long run. Other than that, it's a pretty standard relationship for Ron. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show.
Hello, Ron.
Hey, Steve. How are you today?
Fine. Thank you very much.
Steve Glinsky joins us. He's been an active philanthropist and education reformer for many, many years. He's also the founder of an organization bearing his name. And we're talking today about college courses and textbooks and all that kind of stuff. Of course, in the news recently about education and getting into college and all that. So where do you stand on this? You actually started a nonprofit, I understand.
Yeah, there's a nonprofit with a website called modernstates.org. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the biggest problem with college these days is how expensive it's gotten. Sure. There's $1.5 trillion of student debt, and more people can't afford to go to college anymore. So what modernstates.org does is we hired the best professors we could find in the country. We created a whole set of online college courses from these great professors, and we just give them away for free to anybody who goes to the website with free textbooks so that anybody can get these courses. And then there's a test from the College Board that's been around for 50 years. Yep. If you pass that test, you get credit at all the major state schools for having taken that course.
I mean, there's definitely got to be some answers to the cost of education, because it's like it almost doesn't make sense. Here's your education. Now you're going to work for the rest of your life and pay me for it. It just kind of, it's weird.
It's gone up super fast. Yeah, the cost has gone up very fast.
It has. I guess a question would be, are these accredited courses? Do employers consider these to be worthy?
Yeah, well, I think it's even it even works better than that, because we design the courses. There's a specific exam called the College Level Examination Program from the College Board. The College Board does the SAT test and the Advanced Placement test.
Right.
And they've had these exams that have been around for 50 years that all the major state schools, Texas State, Penn State, the SUNY system, accept these tests. So if you pass the test, you get the credit from Texas State when you enter Texas State, or Ohio State when you enter Ohio State. So they've been around for 50 years, and we just worked into that existing system.
Very good. I'll tell you why I like this, because I truly believe that for all the money that colleges and universities charge, for the most part, all they are social experiments. There's education, but I don't think that kids necessarily learn because there is education. They may get a diploma, but what they leave with is basically how to suck on a water pipe or a hash pipe. And I'm sorry, I'm being I mean, I'm serious. I mean, but when you're in the confines of focusing on a study without all those social tantalizing things going on, I think you're better. You come out better.
Well, you know, it's a great thing. If someone can afford to go to Stanford for 4 years and be on campus, it's a wonderful thing. But,
is it?
You know, what we can do, I guess so. I didn't go to Stanford, so I honestly, I assume it's great. I don't think I could have gotten in. But what we can do is we have 130,000 people have signed up to use the site since we launched a year ago.
Yeah.
And what you can do is, you know, save a course or save up to about a year of school by finishing courses before you enter and cutting your tuition, you know, by thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. Absolutely. So that's where we mostly fit in.
Yeah. I mean, I think the day will come where Yale and Harvard employers will be saying, well, either you're too snooty and you're going to leave us soon anyway because you went to one of these Ivy Leagues, we can't keep you. Or they might say, oh, your parents are rich.
Well, that's, or you're a pole vaulter.
Yeah, exactly,
you know, supposedly.
Right. Right, a pole vaulter, right. Exactly. Okay, so how does somebody get more information about this?
It's really easy. You just go to the website, modernstates.org. It looks like Netflix. All the courses are offered with previews and who the professor is. And it's meant to be as simple as Netflix, but you just download a college course.
Wow.
Instead of downloading a movie, and it's the textbooks are online, everything is, and we're also paying the exam fees. College Board charges $87 for the final exam, and we're paying that for people as well. So they just have to go to modernstates.org for themselves or their kids or friends or anyone who's trying to cut the cost of college. Just go to modernstates.org and check it out.
That sounds incredible. It really does, and this is pretty cool. And I wish I was younger and could do this. Well, I guess I could, but I...
Any age. We have people, anyone from teenagers to retirees, every age, and any background. We don't check any... It doesn't matter who you are, what your background is. It's open to everybody, like a public library. Anybody can go and use it.
This is incredible stuff. I'm glad I talked to you. I had no idea that this was even feasible.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah, we're just trying to get the word out because it does exist, and most people never heard of it.
Yeah. One more time, the website, please.
modernstates.org. Just go to it, and it's all self-explanatory, modernstates.org.
Great. Problem, there's a solution. Hey, Steve, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Ron. Thanks very much.
Take care. We've reached the end of our road for today. But fear not, my friends. I'll be back tomorrow with another episode of Game of Thrones. Oh, no, I mean another episode of the Ron Van Dam Show. You don't have to binge listen in order to get caught up. I'll catch you up right now. Life is weird, isn't it? Okay, you're caught up. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace.